D-backs have won 2 of 3, hitting the ball better. Got good starts over the weekend from Riley Smith.
And Luke Weaver.
From Luke Weaver. He was phenomenal yesterday. Luke, the big chant that he was doing coming off the field. Zach Gallen, and we'll talk about him coming up in a little bit. He's going to make the start tomorrow for the Diamondbacks. But it's Madison Bumgarner, and his starts now have become like an eclipse. You know, it just kind of blots everything else out. And when you talk about all the good things starting to happen for the Arizona Diamondbacks, whether it's the bats coming alive or the starting pitching rotation or guys coming back getting healthy, man, when you've got 4 years and $79 million left on a contract and you've got a pitcher thrown to an ERA of an 11,
wow,
his starts take on just this heavy kind of gravity, sort of weighty, okay, what are you going to get tonight out of Madison Bumgarner? And we do this every 5 days. Every 5 days.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of it, Ben. It sucks.
I know, right? But this is...
it sucks.
Don't you agree?
You're bracing for the worst.
That this is kind of how it's going to be for a while with Mad Bum. Every single start is going to have this very sort of heavy feel
to it. All right, so if he has a good one tonight, we're going to be same spot next week. We're going to be like, can he do it again? I mean, that's just one. He is going to have good starts this year.
Yes,
like he
yes,
will.
He is.
He will have some good starts.
He might even have one tonight. For this A's team has struggled offensively.
They have
to start this year. The Mats aren't off to a great start, and Bob Melvin's been moving his lineup around trying to figure
Olson
out the right combination.
Yep,
yeah,
Mets.
I mean, it's he might have one of those good starts. But he's going to have to do it again, and he's going to have to do it again because all we've experienced of Madison Bumgarner in a Diamondbacks uniform is failure. All we've experienced out of him is, outside of a couple of starts he made towards the end of last year, all we've seen out of Mad Bum in a Diamondbacks uniform is not even close to living up to
expectations. The guy was 30 years old and the Giants didn't want to pay him $85
million. Mm-hmm.
Okay? He was 35 years, he was 30 years old. He had been a four-time All-Star and won 3 World Series and they passed. They didn't want to bring him back. The fastball velocity dipped, the statistics just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, here's a guy that had a 6.48 ERA last year, and he was one of the worst pitchers in the league at avoiding hard contact. He gave up 13 home runs in 41 innings last year. And now you get off to the start this year with two bad outings. And yeah, I mean, we're bracing for the worst because you don't want to believe that, like, you don't want to believe you're stuck with a con. If it was 1 year left on a deal, okay. But 4 years left on this contract?
That's what it is.
4 more years after this year?
Mm-hmm. 3 more years.
3 more after this year. This is the fourth year. Three more. It was a 5-year deal. And he's pitched. This is the second. 3 more years. But still, like, this year just started. So there's 4 years left on this contract.
Yes.
Damn, that's a long time.
Yeah.
That's wow, that's going to really suck.
Yep. And to your point, he's not going to be this bad all year long. He's not going to pitch to an ERA of 11 all year long. That's just not one way or another. No. That will not happen.
But does he pitch to an ERA of 6?
But right, does he pitch to an ERA of 7, or is it more like 4, 4.5? I mean, at this point, man, if he could pitch to an ERA of 4.5, I'd feel like, okay, at least he can breathe a little bit with that, right? You can live with that.
It's not what you're paying $85 million
God,
for.
God, no. Oh, no. Absolutely not. But more than anything, and it's the third start of the season. I don't want to make the third start of the season to be that, like, everything's riding on tonight. It's not. He's going to make another start 5 nights from now. And when he does, we'll talk about that start, too. But
it's about 10% of his season will be over after tonight. About 10% of all his pitching will be over.
But we need to start seeing some results to start feeling a little bit better about
this.
Here's
what I think, too. What do you do? Like, what do you do if he goes out there and he goes 5 innings and he gives up 6 runs again? Like, what do you do?
Okay, let's have that conversation. What do you do if you're the Arizona Diamondbacks and he struggles again tonight? You don't do anything about it tonight. You give him certainly a couple to 3 to 4 more starts to figure it out. I mean, don't you think he's got at least 3 or 4 more starts like this before you really have to start thinking about, okay, what are we going to do about this? You're not going to make that decision after 3 starts.
No.
You're not going to make that decision after 4. You'll probably make a decision like that more after like 7 or 8 starts. But then what do? They put him on the IL with some sort of phantom injury?
Yes.
To give him some sort of time off and recalibrate things a little bit?
Did they do that last year? And they give him some time off. Did he have a little time off last year?
I thought he did. Sounds familiar now that you mention it.
I thought he did get a little time off.
Did he back injury? Was that what
they called it?
Well, I mean, was that what I remember it being? I seem to remember he spent a little time on the IL, and I think it was a back injury now that you mention it. I mean,
he only had two starts in August. So he didn't pitch from August 9th to September 5th. He was out a month.
Okay.
He was out about a month last year. So
do you
do that again? But what are you hiding? I mean, what are you like? First of all, one, you can't trade him. So don't even bring that option up. Untradeable. He's an untradeable player. You could say we'll eat half the money. He's untradeable. Because nobody's going to pay him $40 million. They're not going to pay him $10 million a year to be on your team.
Not for four more years, though.
No. Nobody's going to do so. You can't trade him.
Nope, that's out. You're not sending him to the minors. He's not eligible for that.
You could walk away from the whole thing.
What, need it? Woo, baby. Oh, that's a...
Okay, after this year, what is he owed? Say this, I'm just listening, I don't know, but...
Probably 53 years and 59, I'm guessing. I'd have to look up the exact details.
He's at 79 that he's owed this year?
Yeah, he's at 4 and 79 starting.
So he'll be down to 60-something.
Maybe even a... Yeah.
Even if this is a bad year, you bring him back next year and you hope you figure it out.
Yeah.
But then after next year, with 2 years left...
Then
you eat it.
You start thinking about, is this just a contract we have to eat to move on? Now, again, we're
you can't keep a guy pitching like this for four more years.
No, but
so that's.
But to be fair, you and I both don't think that he is going to continue to pitch like this the rest of this year, right?
Even last year, his last two starts, he pitched 10 innings and gave up no runs in 10 innings in his last two starts. He's going to have good starts.
He's gonna.
But in the end. What are the final numbers going to be? Is he going to be a guy that goes 7-10 with a 7-10 with an ERA of 5.25?
Right. All I'm saying is that you and I we're having a hypothetical. We're having kind of like a thought exercise on the very worst scenario for Madison Bumgarner, right? You and I, what we just did a second ago was, what happens if things are the absolute worst case scenario? What do you do? The reality is that we're probably not going to find out the absolute worst case scenario, because one of these days, hopefully starting tonight, he has a decent enough performance that it starts to build up a little hope that things will get figured out. Hopefully that happens tonight. And then hopefully he follows that up with another one 5 days from now, so that you start to feel at least a little bit better about getting some kind of value out of this contract that you've signed. The hypothetical we explored was the worst case scenario. Not even the most likely thing to happen. It's just the worst case scenario.
You got a quick best case scenario?
Best case scenario?
What is the best case?
The best case...
Not going to pitch like he did with the Giants.
Is he pitches to an ERA between 4 and 4.5.
And he goes...
10-8?
Yeah.
Yes.
10-8 with an ERA of 4.5.
I think for Madison Bumgarner at this point, that is the best case scenario. And even
you're paying $85 million for a guy to win 10 games.
Yeah, and that's not worth it. That's not worth it. But at least you're getting some value out of that deal, right? Because right now it's completely sunk costs. You're getting zero value out of that deal. Zero. At least at 10-8 and an ERA of 4.3, you're getting some value, not full value. But some value. It's like a car, brand new car. You buy it, right? And the minute you drive it off the lot, it depreciates by $1,000.
Drive it in the lot and never drive it anywhere else. I only take it in the lot. I go around in circles.
That's good. I enjoyed that. That's Madison Bumgarner. You're never, ever, ever going to be able to sell that car and get what you paid for.
I take an Uber to work.
Leave it on the lot. Yeah. That's smart. Just think of Madison Bumgarner like a brand new car who depreciates the minute you drive it off the lot. You'll never get full value for that contract. So you just hope for the best. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, just a year ago, it would have been a ridiculous question. I mean, can you imagine a year ago if we had asked the question, are the Phoenix Suns the best team in the NBA? And yet somebody's got them there. We'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo show.
If I had told you a year ago,
it's one of those conversations.
I still can't travel to Italy.
I don't think you would have believed that either. But you might have actually been more inclined to believe that than what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
If I had told you a year ago, think about where we were a year ago. It's April 12th. So a year ago, the NBA was shut down. The bubble was just a figment of Adam Silver's imagination. They had not begun working towards that yet. Maybe they were starting to think about it in the very early stages, but it wasn't there. But a year ago, if I had said to you, a year from right now.
They were talking about Vegas.
That's right.
That was the
Remember
first
that?
Option right. was Vegas. Vegas.
That's right. A year from right now, the Phoenix Suns, led by Chris Paul and Devin Booker, are going to have the,
I like where you're going
are going to have the second best record in the NBA and are going to be looked upon in a power ranking on NBA.com as the very best team in the NBA. Who could have possibly believed that a year ago?
Nobody.
I mean,
you take the 8 games out, at that point they hadn't played 8 games.
Right.
So the Phoenix Suns were 26-39.
So I tell
you're gonna tell me they're gonna be number one in the power rankings. They were 26-39.
26-39 team is gonna be number one in the power rankings. Gonna have the second best record in the NBA. And oh, by the way, Chris Paul is gonna be your who would have?
No, you couldn't have.
Right?
You couldn't have dreamt it.
Nope. Couldn't have. You couldn't have.
Or maybe you could have.
Right, well, no, I had a dream that Larry Fitzgerald signed a 5-year. And the thing about it was, too, when Jordan chimed in and said it was a 5-year contract, we all just reacted with unbelievable shock. We were like, get out of here. Come on. Seriously? But it was a weird dream. It's a very weird dream. But that's what
That would be like me telling you a year from now, the Arizona Diamondbacks are going to have the best record in baseball.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, Mike Trout's going to be on the team. The Angels trade, like, or something like that.
Something
you know?
Like that. A year from now, I don't even know if, like, a year from now, the Arizona Cardinals are going to be Super Bowl champs. But even that has a ring of at least some kind of possibility, right?
Yeah.
The idea that the Phoenix Suns, and look, it's just a power ranking. Power rankings don't mean a hill of beans for
Hazen
anything.
Traded for Jacob DeGrom, and the Mets are the number one team in baseball.
The Diamondbacks
are the number one team in baseball next
right,
year.
Right.
There you go.
Who's going to buy
tell you that right now. Would you buy it?
Who's going to buy it?
No, you're not buying it.
No one's going to buy
it. You're selling.
No one's going to buy it. Of course not. Of course not. No one would have bought it with the Suns either. And just because some NBA.com power rankings
well,
says
I got
the Phoenix
I got
Suns.
I got one that's more comparable.
Okay, what you got?
A year from now, U of A is on their way to the Rose Bowl in football.
The look on Sarah's face, like, why you got to go there, man?
Yep, U of A football won the Pac-12. They're going to the Rose Bowl.
Why you got
to
go there?
Your mouth to God's ears. Here we go.
There you go. That's somewhat similar to the 26-39 Suns being the best team, one of the top two teams in basketball.
Yeah, it would be somewhat similar. Are the Phoenix Suns the best team in the NBA right now?
I mean, no. I mean, they're one of the best. The Suns are one of the best teams in the NBA.
They are.
They're one of the best teams in the NBA. The best, I wouldn't put them as the best. But you're also judging it in two ways. You're not judging it on what we know the rosters will be when they go to the play. We're judging it on, right now, you got guys hurt. You got guys out. You know, Harden's hurt, and LeBron's hurt, and AD's hurt, and Patrick Beverley's not playing, and you start to go through all of this, and you're like, okay, today, the way it, like if the NBA Finals were today, and the Suns were going to play the Lakers, okay, they'd probably win, and play the Nets, okay, they'd probably win, but that's not what it's going to be in a month from now.
Which is why they do these power rankings every single week, and why they say and it's not just NBA.com. ESPN did one. Suns were second. The Athletic did one. The Suns were third or fourth. I can't remember. They actually had the Nuggets number one in theirs. I mean, it's a weekly thing where they're looking and they're saying, okay, snapshot moment right now, today, who is the best team? And look, the argument for the Suns, it's a really easy one to make. It's a very easy one to make. They just beat everybody's presumed number one last week. You know, not convincingly, they needed overtime to do it, but
was that everybody's presumed number one, though?
I think Utah was on the top of a lot of those lists.
Okay.
Yeah. Not all of them. I mean, they still are on top of ESPN's lists. So if you, like in college football, if number one Alabama loses to number two LSU, well, guess what? Next week, number two LSU is now going to be number one LSU. And so I think that might be some of the rationale. It's hard to argue with that. Look, the Suns deserve to be in the conversation as one of the two or three best teams in the NBA. Because you're right. The Nuggets, Jamal Murray's hurt. The Lakers, everyone's still hurt. The Nets, They've been missing Harden, and KD is on a minutes restriction. Utah just lost to the Suns last week. The Clippers, you mentioned the Clippers earlier. They might be the one team who could be, argue, is the best team in the NBA right now, but they just lost Patrick Beverley, too.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt the way you would lose somebody else, but they've won 11 out of 13. The Clippers have won 11 out of 13. They're playing good. They've got the two-headed monster in Kawhi and Paul George. They added DeMarcus Cousins to try to give them some size when they play teams. And we'll see how it works out. I mean, I also judge that based on who scares me. And again, I'm a styles make fights type of guy.
Right.
I just don't love that matchup. I don't love the matchup against the Clippers. I just think that their wings are, as much as I love Mikal Bridges, their wings are better than our wings.
Mm-hmm.
And their wings are just very dominant.
And very good defenders.
And they're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the NBA. I mean, five guys are having, career years shooting
their
three.
I think they're the best three-point shooting
team. I'm not surprised because they've got five guys that are having career years. So it's just, they're very good. They scare me.
But you know what? There's nothing wrong with having Suns as number one. You can make a compelling argument. They deserve to be number one. And it's not far-fetched, and it's not, oh, come on, man. They're in that very, very short list conversation of they very well could be. And by the way, something else that we talked about last week about how they were, remember Bill Simmons was talking about how they're last in pace or they're among the worst teams in the NBA.
Not so fast, my friends.
Not so fast. That is, and I got this off of Dave King's Twitter account. He covers the Suns for Bright Side of the Sun. And he tweeted out this morning, if you think the Suns are playing a little faster these days, your eyes are not deceiving you. The Suns, through the end of February, were 29th in the NBA in pace, possessions per game. Since March 1st, they're 15th.
So that's only because of the two plays from Booker to Mikal Bridges.
is that what it is?
That was just those two.
Is that what it is? I mean, not exactly burning a hole in the court, but more like league average when it comes to pace. Fast break points, they've jumped way up in that regard, too. So you mentioned it when we talked about the Simmons stuff. You said, man, it doesn't seem like they play that slow, right? It doesn't look slow.
It doesn't feel, because they score a lot of points. But only because I think they're just so efficient. And it's not like the Suns are winning games like, brutal teams in the East used to win games, 88-80. They're scoring a lot of points. They're knocking down threes. They're exciting. I've never noticed that the pace is that much slower than it was in previous years. I just haven't.
Would you see how many shots they shot on Saturday night? It's like 107. Field goal attempts, which is a ridiculously high number. That's a big, big number. The Suns attempted 107 shots. They were flying up and down the floor.
Yeah, but that goes into with the pace being much better in the last 2 weeks.
Absolutely, yeah.
Too, right?
And the pace has picked up a little bit. When we come back, Steve Keim hasn't had the greatest track record when it comes to hitting on draft prospects. Could a change in strategy towards the elite college programs change that? A suggestion for you to consider, and one that Gambo endorses, next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, 5:30 in the afternoon here on the Burns and Gambo Show. You just heard Sarah mention it a second ago. Really busy night locally in sports. Coyotes taking on the Avalanche. Today was the NHL trade deadline. Nothing happened for the Coyotes. If the season were to end today, they are on the outside looking into the playoffs after being in for the better part of the last few weeks. Diamondbacks, and we'll talk about their matchup against the A's coming up in a bit. And, of course, the Phoenix Suns are hosting the Houston Rockets.
Suns tonight. Are playing who tonight?
Suns are hosting the Houston Rockets tonight, Gambo.
And what does that mean for the Houston Rockets?
Bad news for the Rockets!
Bad news for the Rockets!
Here Jordan didn't really bring the heat on that one.
What? I didn't bring the heat on that?
No. Not like you usually do.
Wow. Whoa. I thought I was cooking with fire there.
The look on his face, Sarah,
cooking
that was...
Water.
It hurts my heart when I do it, so I try to tone mine down a little bit.
So we're not going to
do
it
again. Maybe it was me not bringing the heat as much as I usually do.
I do it.
But I know it's the Rockets, but I think the Suns deserve better.
I thought you were both fine.
Oh, yeah, I thought so, too.
Well, I mean,
I'm nitpicking here.
Fine.
Jeez.
That's true.
We need...
You know what I'm saying? I'm coaching us now.
I do know what you're saying. No, I appreciate it. Coach Sarah.
Yeah.
All I was thinking was, man, I hope Gambo catches the hint here, because if he doesn't do it here, it's not happening.
Yeah,
seriously. So it's 5:33, Gambo. The Suns.
You notice I've been waiting till towards the end of the show lately.
I have noticed
because I do
that,
it early. Actually, I hurt myself when I do this.
So sometimes. Now you need to start doing it like in the middle of the show. You know, to really vary.
Yeah, just come back.
I need a little bit of a break right now, so I just went with the later in the show.
Okay, yeah, and you know what? Since we're doing it, and since I basically just ran through a TV guide of what is on tonight, I might as well just say the Coors Seltzer. What's on tonight? Brought to you by Coors Seltzer. When you drink a Coors Seltzer, you help save the Salt River. And I just mentioned them. Diamondbacks taking on the A's, the Suns taking on the Rockets, the Coyotes taking on the Avalanche. That's everything that's on tonight. All right, let's talk about this Cardinals story now. And again, want to thank our friends over at Revenge of the Birds, and they, Bright Side of the Sun, Cards Wire. I mean, we're always on the lookout for new and interesting things to talk about when it comes to stuff like this. And with the NFL draft coming up just 2.5 weeks away, Revenge of the Birds took a look at Steve Keim's draft history, and in particular, improving the draft strategy. And what their suggestion would be in order to improve their draft strategy is to make a more deliberate effort to draft players who are recruited by the top football schools in America. So just like a Fortune 500 company hires kids who went to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Stanford.
Not
right?
NAU?
Typically, no. Every now and then, sure, but usually no. That NFL teams, the Cardinals in particular, should do a better job of drafting players specifically from the football powers. And I don't just mean Power 5 schools. I mean the powers.
I buy it.
The Bamas. I
totally buy it.
You do. I've got the list here. Tell everybody why you buy this as an idea.
Well, just because, all right, typically, almost all the time, the kids that are going to these top programs, Alabama, Ohio State, LSU, Oklahoma, these kids are the best high school players in the country. Okay? They're the most highly recruited kids. They're the best players in the country. They go to the top programs. Not to say there's not good kids at other programs. There clearly are, and some guys go fly under the radar, and some people develop, you know, more as they get. So you could go from 17 to 18, and all of a sudden you grow 6 inches. Like, it happens.
Sure.
But the best players get recruited by these schools. So the best players are going there. Those schools also have what we believe is the best coaching.
Mm-hmm.
They hire the best coaches. They're paid the most money. The coaching staffs overall are the best coaching staffs in all of college football. So they're getting the best coaching. And then they also get the best competition. They're playing the best games all year long in front of big crowds, big stadiums, games that matter. They get that opportunity. A lot of times they're playing in big bowl games and playoff games. And I think that is a benefit to the player. I think that's why I like getting players from the bigger programs.
Yeah. They went so far, and I believe it was Walter Mitchell who wrote this. They went so far as to, these are the top 10 schools in terms of, since Steve Keim became the general manager, these 10 schools have had more players drafted from these schools than any other schools. Okay. And they are exactly who you would expect them to be. Alabama 1, Ohio State 2, Florida 3, Clemson 4, Miami 5, LSU 6, Oklahoma 7, Florida State 8, Georgia 9, Michigan 10. Those are the 10 schools that have had the most players drafted from them in the Steve Keim era among the whole NFL. All right.
Okay.
Steve Keim has drafted 2 Alabama players, Ed Stinson and Deontay Thompson, nobody from Ohio State, 1 Florida player in DJ Humphreys, 2 Clemson Tigers, Andre Ellington and Isaiah Simmons, nobody from Miami, 3 players from LSU, Minter, Honey Badger, and Rashard Lawrence, 1 player from Oklahoma, Kyler Murray, nobody from Florida State, 1 Georgia Bulldog in Lamont Gilliard, and 1 Michigan Wolverine in Mason Cole. And their idea is concentrate, and I'm sure you could expand the list to 12 or 13 or 14
schools. Is Auburn in there?
Auburn is not in there.
Okay, Notre Dame's not in there.
Okay. USC's not in there. Penn State's not in there. Oregon's not in there. Like I said, I was just about to say, you could probably expand the list to like 15 or 20?
I'm looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster.
Okay.
They won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Michigan, Tom Brady. LSU, Leonard Fournette. LSU again. Alabama. Like, they've got a few. Clemson. They got a Clemson player. So they've got, I'd have to count up, but I'm just looking to see how many they have. They got a decent amount, but almost like, but all outside of that too, there's a lot of guys from big time programs here. Like there's a bunch of Nebraska players, Penn State players, there's Notre Dame players. You don't see a lot of the Florida Atlantic players
right
on here.
To the point where Jordan, and I'm glad you brought that up, Jordan went through the Cardinals roster.
Okay.
And of the 72 players on the Cardinals roster, right, Jordan? 72 guys, Cardinals roster.
As of right now.
As of right now, 72 players, 46 of them are from Power 5 schools. Now, not...
It's a good amount.
Not elite Power 5 schools. Not all of them are
just
elite
Power 5
schools. Just Power 5 schools, right? So, you know, but again, this article is advocating drafting from the elite schools. Power 5 schools.
Yeah.
The very best of the best.
The reason why you like drafting some of those other kids, too, is because they play against those teams. You know, if you get somebody in the SEC, it's very likely he's played against LSU, and he's played against Florida, and he's played against Alabama. He knows what it's like to go up against, you know, great competition. So that's, you know that's a benefit right there. The best player that the Cardinals have from one of those schools is DJ Humphreys.
Yes.
From Florida.
Yes, that's one of them.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray is, well, DeAndre Hopkins is from Clemson.
Yeah, Hopkins and, oh, yeah, Hopkins, yeah, Hopkins.
Okay, Murray from Oklahoma. I mean,
but they didn't draft Hopkins.
They did not draft Hopkins, no.
Because this is a draft story.
This
drafting
is drafting
these players.
Yeah, but I mean, if they have one, but they didn't draft him. If we're expanding the idea to do they have enough of these players from these elite programs in the first place, they have a few. I mean, they Hopkins is one, but in terms of guys they drafted, yeah, they've got... I mean, Kyler Murray and DJ are the main ones. Isaiah Simmons from Clemson last year. I mean, you can argue they did it a year ago, right? They drafted a
Clemson guy,
a player from an elite program last year. How it turns out, that story's being written. We don't know the answer to that question yet. But he's advocating, and to that point, he even took a look at players who will probably be available when the Cardinals pick at number 16. Who are from those schools. Jalen Waddle, Najee Harris, Christian Barmore, the defensive tackle, all three of those from Alabama. Kadarius Toney, I know you saw a mock draft today.
The
wide receiver from Florida.
He's good, yeah.
He's got, watch him film. He had an unbelievable game against Alabama. He killed Alabama.
Yeah.
He torched Alabama.
You sent me a mock draft where he was the pick for the Cardinals at 16. Travis Etienne from Clemson. Jalen Phillips from Miami, Terrace Marshall,
the wide receiver from LSU, Azeez Ojulari from Georgia, Quiddy Pay from Michigan, all, you know, those are the guys who could be available when the Cardinals pick at 16 who fit the criteria of being from one of those 10 elite Power 5 schools. Whether that ends up being the pick or not, I don't know.
They also like to take their shots on like the John Browns.
Sure.
You know, these kids that came out of
Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, Chase Edmonds out of Fordham.
Oh, yeah, big time.
You can find a lot of talent there. But I mean, I think there's something to it. So I think if you've got two guys very closely rated, I lean with the guy that played the better competition and had the better coaching and has been the better player. I lean with that kid.
Just when it looked like the Diamondbacks were getting healthy and back to normal, a new player headed to the injured list. We'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the Bacon Jam Cheeseburger for a limited time only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
D-backs on deck. This is where we get you ready for tonight's Diamondbacks game live from Chase Field. A quick two-game series against the Oakland A's before the Diamondbacks head out back on the road. Diamondbacks, of course, coming off a series win against the Cincinnati Reds, which they dropped the opener in extra innings on Friday night, then won both on Saturday and Sunday to win their first series win. of the season. And since we know it's what's on everybody's mind, well, you know what? Actually, before we get to the pitching matchup, because it's Madison Bumgarner making his third start of the season, and I believe now 12th start as a member of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Gambo, let's get to the injury news from the Arizona Diamondbacks first, because this happened just within the last half hour or so. The Diamondbacks did put infielder first baseman Christian Walker on the 10-day injured list. They recalled Andrew Young from the alternate training site. They had just sent Young back to the training site with some of their recent transactions. But Christian Walker, and it's funny, we kind of had a feeling something might have been up, because Torey Lovello pregame was very vague about whether there was something physically wrong with Walker. This was before they had announced they were putting him on the IL.
He has a normal aches and pains, and I just want to give his body a break get him off the field yesterday in anticipation of combining that with the day off today. So, you know, right now, I feel like he is in a good spot. I mean, offensively, he's been struggling a little bit. And I just think mentally and physically, you know, work through a couple things just to get a blow would obviously be the best case scenario for him. But all the athletes are going through some tough times right now, you know, and definitely want to get him off his feet and give his body a break.
Is there something you need to see take a step forward for him to get back in there physically?
Not right now at this point, no.
Then about an hour later, they put him on the IL.
Yeah, it's like, I can't tell you anything yet. I think he's in a good spot offensively, although he's really struggling. It's almost like, yeah, okay.
I know this is above my pay grade.
They should have this stuff figured out before these guys go into these press conferences.
Exactly.
Come on.
You know Torrey's going to speak every single day at a certain time before a game. Can you not make that decision about Christian Walker before?
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
guys,
so he can speak
Christian
freely
Walker
about it?
On the injured list instead of like just giving a BS answer. Like, you know, it's a bad look.
Seems like the timing of it. I mean, it's
a bad look.
It doesn't seem that complicated, you know, that you
not
just
to me you, and you, but
right. So what makes it so complicated to know what you're going to do beforehand so that when Torey answers these questions, he knows what the answers
well,
are.
This group's a little more, this group's a little more guarded than previous groups.
Fair.
Stuff like that.
All right, fair. So Walker is on the IL, which is a shame because they're just starting to get guys back now from the IL. Nick Ahmed came back over the weekend. Cole Calhoun came back over the weekend. Zach Gallen is getting the start in tomorrow's game. But now Walker, who had yet to really find any kind of rhythm at the plate, started to look a little bit better over the weekend, drawing walks and things like that. But he goes on the IL with an oblique injury, and the shuffling continues for the Arizona
Diamondbacks. Early in the season, he took that that ground ball, the throw from Rojas into the eye at first base.
Yeah.
Rojas
yeah.
made that throw, and it bounced, and it took a bad hop, hit him right in the eye, gave him a black eye.
It did. But this is an oblique injury.
Yeah, he's off to a rough start with this.
That didn't have anything to do with his face, but he is off to a rough start. Speaking of getting guys back, Torey today did have something definitive to say about his ace, Zach Gallen. He's taking the bump tomorrow.
I was going to make sure I checked all the boxes with the medical team all the way up until a couple minutes ago. So Zach Gallen will be our starting pitcher tomorrow. I know you guys want to know what the corresponding move is going to be. We don't know that yet.
I know you did a little checking on this one in terms of what the limitations might be.
75 to 85 is the thought. They haven't finalized that and set it in stone, but the thought process is no more than 85, but it could be, you know, they would like to get 75. Now, depending on how the game goes, right, you could take him out at 50, 60, but what they would like if he's pitching well is for him to come out of the game somewhere in the 75 to 85 pitch range.
Okay, that is tremendous news, obviously. And even on a pitch count, which they'll hold pretty firm to, it's going to be very, very good and very reassuring to see Zach Gallen out there. No question about that. Now, as far as tonight's game goes, it's time for the pitching matchup brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to the Berg Simpson Law Firm. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. Good lawyers changing lives. For the A's, it's going to be right-hander Chris Bassett, 0-2, ERA of about 5.5. Madison Bumgarner, the lefty for the Diamondbacks, getting the start tonight, 0-1, an ERA of 11, and in search of his very first quality start as a member
of the Arizona Diamondbacks. He has never had one.
Yeah, Bassett is 0-2 with the 5.56 ERA, and Bumgarner's ERA is double that. But Bassett's had one career start against the D-backs. It was a no decision last August. He pitched, he allowed 5 hits and 3 runs and 5 1/3. He struck out 3, walked 3. So he does have one start against them under his belt, but he's off to a rough start right
now. Yep, and we've talked about Madison Bumgarner a couple times today. This is, you know, how big can the third start of a season be? Maybe not very, but it sure would be nice to see something out of Bumgarner to make you think that he's making progress, right?
So a question that we want to see those signs that this wasn't an $85 million waste of money. So you want to see Bum. And I do think I've said this. He's, you know, last year he finished strong with 2 good starts, 10 innings, didn't give up a run in those final 2 starts. He's going to have good starts, but you just don't want them to be few and far between. You want him to be more consistent. Maybe it starts tonight against a straw team, an A's team that had been struggling up until these last 2 wins.
Yeah, the A's, offensively in particular, it has been a little bit of a struggle. This will be his 12th appearance as a member of the Arizona Diamondbacks. He has yet to have a quality start. A quality start is 6 innings or more, 3 runs or less. Madison Bumgarner hasn't done that once for the Arizona Diamondbacks. It would be nice if tonight were the night that it happened. That
yeah, and just to, and just to, you know, get this team going, you know, they just won 2 in a row, win another one, start to build that up. But the A's, same thing. They had lost all those games to the Astros, and then they won 2 in a row.
Yep. Time for the MLB standings, and it's brought to you by PNC Bank, financial tools and tech to help make things easier. The LA Dodgers, currently a very impressive 8-2 record so far to start the season, followed very closely, as you would expect, by the San Diego Padres. They're 7-3. Giants right in the middle at 6-3. The Diamondbacks 4-6, and the Colorado Rockies bringing up the rear in the National League West with a 3-7 record so far. And it's time now for some keys to tonight's game.
Listen, man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs keys to the game, brought to you by San Chevrolet. Sands makes it easy. Shop how and where you want. Online in the new San showroom. Find new roads at sanchevrolet.com.
Got a key for me tonight?
2001 Oakland A's started off 2-10. They got off to a really bad start like this A's team has, but they finished with 102 wins. Hudson, Mulder, Zito, Isringhausen, Johnny Damon was on that team. I mean, that was a loaded team. The key to keeping this A's team down is obviously the offense. You've got to keep them out of the ballpark. Matt Olson hit a big 3-run homer to beat the Astros. You got to shut down Olson and Chapman, the two Mats. That will be the key for this game.
All right. That game is coming up tonight, 6:40 from Chase Field. Don't forget Zach Gallen making the start tomorrow, and that is a day game. That's going to do it for us. Diamondbacks baseball is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at straight up 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.